And hello, everyone. Hello, Christine. Hello, Michelle. And hello, Rand.
Sure, love.
Hi, everyone.
So I don't think you need too much of an introduction, Rand, right? Everybody knows you. But Michelle, go right ahead.
Everyone, please welcome to the DMR, Rand Miller. I'm so very pleased to have you come and take time out of your busy schedule to be here. Thank you so very much. We have a bunch of questions from all of the fans of Uru that were submitted on the forum. I did send those off to Ran, and we are going to be picking through those and answering questions for everybody. So, and then after this, Beach is going to DJ, and we're going to have a party for 2 hours after this. So let's have some fun. And I am having some technical difficulties in Uru, so I'm so sorry if you're IMing me. I can't see it. So here's Rand, everyone.
Hey, everybody. I'm sure that with the number of questions that we've got here, there will never, ever be any more questions after I answer these, because I'll just answer them all. You guys will never have any questions ever again. And
so this will be an exhaustive interview.
Thank you guys for having me. This is I don't have to do much work. I was saying earlier, I don't do much. I just pop in, answer questions, get to hang with you guys, and then head back out. But thank you guys for showing up. This is awesome. And for doing all the work and putting this together.
Oh, it was fun. We have fun every year doing this. So who wants to start with the first question?
You go ahead, Christine.
Okay, we have a question from Harvey Midnight. And it's a kind of a new and an old question. Will there ever be a new Myst or Uru game?
And that's a tough one. The keyword there being ever, which means that it's hard for me to say absolutely not. And actually, we've tossed around the idea. We have a few ideas around it. A lot of them involve not necessarily sequel, but maybe a rewriting or a reboot. And the interesting thing that we've talked about is it's hard. It's a very difficult thing to do a reboot when you're the people who are involved in the first one to begin with, because there's a lot of things that we consider sacred that it takes a different person's viewpoint to kind of look at. If you look at like the Star Trek reboots, they did some really interesting things to get around some of the historic lockdowns J.J. Abrams kind of was able to wiggle around. So anyway, that long story short, it's not something we're doing immediately. It's not something that's on the short-term radar, but we have tossed around ideas in the Myst universe just because we're crazy and we like to toss things around.
Okay. This next question comes from Jamie Marchant. And it says, if you could put a Myst game on a game console, which one would you put it on and why?
Boy, this is an interesting question, because in my mind, the experience that we originally built with Myst, and even the kids' games that we did earlier, like Manhole and Osmo and Spelunks, they really were very, and I'll use it, it's almost like tactile. And we kind of built them around that mouse as being the best interface, the one that faded away. By best, I mean the one that faded away the best. So it seems like the consoles always were a little bit hard to map the games to. So with that in mind, I think that we were always interested in the interface fading away and that being the easy part. Consoles are meant generally speaking, to kind of feature the interface so that you learn all of the myriad controls and buttons. Once you learn those well, you can navigate a 3D environment easily. But a lot of people might not want to go to that level to right. enjoy the game.
I so, see what you're saying.
So we haven't focused necessarily on consoles. That's not to say that there aren't some exciting new interfaces that are coming up and that it wouldn't be interesting to explore the world. So the one thing that we keep going back to is, and this is the important part, the technology makes building worlds, realistic worlds, more and more interesting as the consoles get more sophisticated. And that's what we want to do. We really don't care about the friction of bad guys that we have to, you know, kill our way through, but building a really amazing world on a console gets easier and easier, I mean, or more and more possible with every generation of consoles. And that's the part that gets us excited.
Wow. Okay, I guess it's my turn. Malifoc, I hope I pronounced that correctly. Last time there was a question about whether or not Cyan had decided to do a Kickstarter, and Rand said that they were still thinking about it, but the question was more about which project to do, Mist-related or something brand new. Has Cyan decided yet, and might we hope for a Kickstarter this year?
Wow. Yeah, and this one, if I was a good corporate person, I would just say, oh, I can't really comment on that. But I'm a really crappy corporate person. So, yeah, we are definitely a little ways down the road on trying to plan Kickstarter thing. And we have decided that it's something new. A lot of different directions, but we ultimately settled on something new that hopefully echoes back to the same feeling we provided when people landed on the dock in Mist for the first time. So, in essence, we're going for the same feeling and the same kind of amazing desire to find out where I am now, why I'm here, what went on here, but it's maybe nothing to do with Mist in particular. Now, I'm sure I've said way, way, way too much, but we're actually kind of excited about it. So,
cool.
There you go.
Okay. Christine?
I lost my notepad. Uh-oh. Can you send it to me?
Okay.
All right. Well, I've got one ready here from Alien, who is with us here in the CMR. Their question is, if you can get the permission, would Cyan make a Real Mist 3 Exile and maybe even a Real Mist 4 Revelation?
Yes. No.
Good. I think Real Mist 5 would be the easiest one at this point. That's a joke. Ha 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 ha. Real Mist is tough. We love Real Mist. I mean, we really do like the feeling. And in the one of the things that we are working on here is updated versions of Real Mist. So, but I have to say that it is incredibly time. Requires a lot of time and effort to do that. Even with Real Mist, the original and ones, a version that we've already done and just to update requires so much time and effort. So redoing those earlier versions of that are we don't have models for and we don't have textures for. I think Rawa and I were talking, the man hours to do that is probably, there's not a I don't think you could get a payoff for the time involved. And it's not all about money. We'd do it if we could break even, but I don't think we even come close to that. So I don't see that in the short term.
Okay. Christine? Okay.
No, I left just a sign and go ahead with the questions.
Okay. Zeke asks, what are some of Sion's goals to this year and in the future?
Number one, we're just happy to be alive and kicking. I think the stories of our demise are a little bit exaggerated. We're definitely small, but we're pretty strong with who we've got and what we're doing. So we are, as usual, we're trying to maintain the things that we've already got. We're trying to do little updates to for our older software. As you guys have seen recently, we tried to update things so that things are working well. We continue to do that. The iOS conversions are always good because it's a new platform that kind of keeps us going. And we are looking at Android stuff as well. I know there's a lot of questions about that usually. We just have to it's always the effort involved versus the payoff. And the Android thing is there. We have conversions to other languages. We're already started work on a Chinese version of Myst, which may seem kind of crazy, but we have a connection. I have a cousin who majored in Chinese, and he's incredibly fluent in Chinese, and he's done probably one of the best foreign language translations that we've got of Myst. And so that's one that we're kind of excited about. We also are working on RealMyst, like I mentioned earlier. That's been a long time since that was updated, in particular on the Windows and Mac platform, and that's something we'd love to take care of. And then we're kind of watching Moola a lot, making sure we keep things going there, as you guys are well aware of. And then lastly is the Kickstarter that is we're trying to spend spare cycles that we've got, which isn't a lot because we're small, but we're trying to spend our spare cycles planning for that and deciding where to go. So we definitely have a lot of things going on. And for a small company, sometimes it boggles us.
Wow. Okay. Planet?
Yeah. But going back to Harvey Midnight again, he has a question that says, any update on the Myst movie? Any comments on that?
That's one we get a lot. And it's funny because I think my answers are always very similar and revolve around the idea that I don't really know how Hollywood works. And so we try not to get our hopes up. We get some positive feedback and it seems so natural for us that this franchise would work really good as a tent pole for Hollywood to build some stories and some movies that could be ongoing. But I think lots of things have to happen for Hollywood to do that. So we continue to pursue it. We continue to seek different partners and connections. And we're also trying to learn as we go to try and figure out exactly what things would help as we move down that path. But it definitely is different. I mean, I have to say it's different from where Cyan is right now either at this as well. Cyan at this point is we kind of control our own destiny. The rights to the software kind of have reverted to us, and we're a very small shop, and we kind of publish our own things now, and it's nice to be able to do that. You don't make a lot of money, but you kind of control things. And Hollywood is the opposite of that. You've got to have a lot of very powerful partners to kind of make things happen. We're not opposed to any of that. It's just figuring out who those people are and how it all works. So you could probably replay my answer to that to that question for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and it would sound very similar.
I'm sure you've been asked that more than once lately.
Da Vinci writes, has Cyan ever considered opening the city, Agera, to fan-created add-in content?
We have had extensive discussions about, you know, how to move to fan-created content. And it's a very tricky situation, although I think what we've settled on is fairly reasonable and fairly interesting. The idea really revolves, in some ways, mimics the early Dunny culture. And I think that's probably the best way to look at this. If you were a Dunny writer and you were just starting writing ages, they were, you know, the hierarchy was not going to let you just put a book out where anybody could link to, because you would kill people. So it kind of lends itself that there would be an area that maintainers might go to first to make sure people don't die, and then there are, it's kind of a travel at your own risk kind of area where it's like, this is not the, and please don't take this as, you know, that I'm not humble or that we're proud, but this is not the Dunny masters who maybe are doing this work. These are some people who are kind of learning to do this. So travel at your own risk. And I think that's the perfect scenario. And that's with the whole open source and where we're moving. I think that gives you a great line where people who are in the cavern can go to this new place and say, you know, I know that anything past this line is going to be things that people who are learning, they're new writers, they're up and coming writers, it's new content. And some of it might be incredibly exciting, and some of it may even be better than what we were able to make for Uru. But that having that line there keeps everybody knowing what's on one side and what's on the other side. And I think that works really well.
All right, so let me get my notes straight here. All right, Venturist, this is sort of a funny question. He says, who came up with our dance moves, and did they have any dance-offs in the office to pick which ones to use?
So this is a great question. I just figured, a lot of this stuff that I know that, you know, lots of people don't know. Jason Basquiat was the guy who was our animator, our primary animator for all the stuff for Uru. And he is the one who came up with the dance moves. And I think there's been various versions of them over the years. And it was one of the high points here at Cyan when he did my Rand avatar, with one of those dance moves, and he may have even put that to some music and made a movie of that early on when we were trying that out. So you can thank Jason Basquiat for that. And there was a second part to that question, or?
Well, I think some have asked, are we ever going to get any alternate dance moves, such as air guitar or Malaclip says banging your head, you know, something like that, air drums. Breakdancing.
Yeah, it would be great. Slow, you know, dance. all the plans we had for Uru and adding content had lots of things like that. I mean, you can imagine, you know, if this had gone on, we can just keep adding additional things and changing and making it more exciting. It's just tough to do that now. And it may be things that, you know, we move into more user created stuff. There's potential for that stuff ongoing, because I, you know, I love to play air guitar.
Okay. Two writes, in Myst 4, the opening credits refer to Team Revelation. Who was involved with Team Revelation? Are these people who you need to contact to get Revelation ported to Steam and GOG.com? Is there any progress you can legally report on that front?
Yeah, this is another continuing thing that we're trying to get going, and I don't think this is a difficult problem. It's just finding the people in the equation that care enough to make it happen. I don't think this is huge money for a publisher. And in this case, I think it's Ubisoft. And we talk with Ubisoft and we have a good relationship with them. I just don't think that it's high on their list of priorities to make these things happen. With that said, we continue to talk and figure out exactly how to make that work. We're certainly not trying to make a lot of money on this. We're just trying to make things happen so that all the games are available again. I think it's related to Ubisoft, who we have worked with and managed to get Myst 5 out. So 4 seems very likely, and even 3 to a certain extent seems like it should be able to be done. It's just a matter of the right papers on the right person's desk who doesn't already have a stack of 200 papers of one worth of things that they've got to deal with. So, but we continue to try, and we will. And I think there was a related question to with Myst 3 and Exile and Presto Studios. And we have talked with Presto. They're excited about getting that re-released. And so it's just getting all the parties and the stars to align.
Karkadan asks a two-part question. First says, is there any way you guys at Cyan can update the 3DS Max plugin documentation? Also, what are the chances of opening some of the doors in ages like Denis Bevan, The Watchers Pub, and Garrison? I noticed some of them, like the ones in The Watchers Pub and Garrison, look like part of a potential update.
So the 3DS Max plugins, I think we would love to update those. It's as I kind of mentioned earlier, we have got a lot going on for a small company, so it's a little bit rough for us to do that. It's certainly not impossible, but we have to be careful, especially at the size we're at now, what things we choose, because we are small because our resources are small and our cash flow is small. And so if we choose something that doesn't help our cash flow, it means that we have to get even smaller. So you can see where our dilemma is in that one in particular. But we do want to help. We absolutely do. And I think there's some suggestions of, maybe some low impact things we can do to help open source people and answer some questions. And maybe we can have a little, even some kind of a summit to get some of the killer questions out of the way. Somebody mentioned even a Skype session that would be useful with people who you could ask particular questions and we could clear up some particularly daunting challenges maybe. And that seemed like a great idea. And as far as the doors, it would be great to see what's behind those doors. Those doors were part of the design from the beginning. And so, we're hesitant to let somebody else decide what's there because we always have in the back of our minds, like, wouldn't it be great if we get to put the things behind those doors that we originally wanted to, or we get to describe those a little more. And so with that in mind, that we've kind of, have this longer term hope that someday, and in conjunction with what I said earlier, with the fan created content kind of being on the other side of a very definitive line, I think those doors will stay closed for the time being.
Okay. Emmer Dunilap as a question based off of Karkadon's question. If a handful of plasma plug in users pulled some money in a kitty, could you recommend one of Cyan's skilled users of the plugin who might be willing to do a paid Skype session with us to answer some questions and fill in some gaps with the existing documentation.
Yeah, that's a good segue from the previous question. So this one seemed like a great idea to me. I don't think you have to pool money. I think a Skype session works great. I think for anybody who'd want to be involved, I think the important part would be to make sure that we kind of reduce the amount of noise and make it really useful. And so in almost a similar way that we did this session, where the questions are kind of pooled together first and they're sorted through kind of from both ends from a text point of view, where they're emailed together and we get the most pertinent ones laid out. It seems like we could answer some of those and then even have a Skype session to have follow-ups that might be really useful. I just love that idea. And I think, we'll try and make something like that happen.
Awesome. I'll be more than happy to get that started for you if you'd like.
Okay.
Awesome.
Okay, Rand, we're about 30 minutes in here. And if you'd like, we can take about a 3-minute break here and just get a drink or something and give everybody just a chance to take a break. So we're going to go back to some more music from Mist here, give Rand a chance to rest his voice here for a second, and we'll be right back with more of Rand Miller. Okay, and we're back with Rand Miller. I'm Planetary. We've got Michelle Marquise and Christine here as well, too.
Yay. Two has a question. Will any of the other goodies from MOUL, such as Sharper's hat or the Great Tree Jacket, ever be made available?
That's a good one. Rawa and I actually discussed that, and we thought that everything was enabled in Moolah, but we may have missed some things. So that's one that you'll have to actually help us with, because we may have missed a couple. We thought we enabled all the clothing and goodies. So if we've missed something, let us know. And it sounds like those two we may have, but I'm not. If that's what the question is. So if it's in there, we kind of want everybody to be able to get it at this point.
Harvey Midnight asks, will there ever be a chance of some tasteful in-game advertising to help support Moolah? I think tasteful is the operative
word. That question is really good, because we had set up the entire, in our minds, the whole reopening of the cavern and the idea of having a corporate sponsor that kind of pays the bills for all the development that was going on by the DRC seemed like it fit perfectly with having advertising in the cavern. And so that always seemed like the best way to bring advertising in kind of a tasteful way. It's like, hey, these ads are helping us reopen things. So I don't think anybody would be opposed to that. So, of course, we would, that I don't have any problem with that at all. I think the big question now is just, who wants to do it and how do we pull it off, since we don't have a lot of resources to go in and change things. So, but yeah, we'd love, Coke ads and United Airlines ads all over every place. I'm just kidding. It is nice to not have the advertising, but as we all know, sometimes advertising is what allows us to do things for free. So
that's right.
One of those interesting necessary evils that we all can appreciate.
Who can watch YouTube nowadays without seeing the 15-second ad first?
Yes. Regarding something more trivial like this, we did ask Robin which was his favorite pizza. So talk to us about your favorite pizza.
My favorite pizza, boy, that's really good. It's hard for me to eat pizza these days because my wife has a problem with gluten. But I sneak it anyway. I think, actually, I've grown to like, it's Papa Murphy's. That's the kind where you basically bake your own. You go in and they put whatever toppings you want. You take it home and bake it, and it's fresh out of the oven. So there you go.
Wow. We could advertise your pizza.
Another question. Do you have plans or any thoughts as far as joining Mysterium 2013 this year?
We're 2013 Mysterium is kind of cool because it's the 20th anniversary. So that's awesome. We can't be there. Our atoms can't be there, but you know, our bits, it's always fun to, have our bits take part. So we anticipate and would be happy to, do something along that line. It's always amazing to me, the Mysteriums and the fan support. I mean, just like this. You guys are so cool to keep coming back and be interested in the stuff we make. We really do appreciate it. It's just amazing to us. So,
Harvey Midnight writes, next time you're visiting Yuru, would you like to do a door run?
I just told Rawa, my wife and I did a door run not long ago. I think it was a few months ago. We were trying to solve things again, and it's tough to do with two people. So I think we went and grabbed somebody so that we'd have three. I can't remember. I can't remember who it was, but anyway, yeah. Once again, this is another one of those things that's kind of bittersweet because it was so much fun designing when we realized we could do multiplayer puzzles and trying to figure out puzzles that we might be able to do with lesser people, but would be easier with more people was kind of an interesting challenge. After our whole lives, we had kind of done these very individual puzzles. And so that whole door run puzzle was kind of a fun one for us as we started going down that path.
Is there any way to add additional puzzles to the game?
I think what's going to happen is, honestly, if Moolah gets a life of its own and we can open up enough source stuff, I think that some of its future is going to belong to the fans, and that's the way it should be. That's in a lot of really interesting ways. It just parallels Dunny itself, where the great writers kind of did their thing, but it was up to new people who were looking at things differently to kind of make stuff happen. And that's what I get excited about, because for one of the first times, I mean, if we've got a way to link to fan ages in the game, then I'm going to be able to go to places that I don't know what they're like. I haven't seen them, and I haven't been involved in planning them in some way. So that's exciting for me.
Here's a question from Ventress that's referring to a curator at the Smithsonian that may have contacted you. And how long ago was that, and what specifically was discussed?
It was a blast. The Smithsonian exhibit was fun. It was one I got to actually go to kind of the opening ceremonies. So for those of you who don't know, Myst was actually one of the video games chosen as for a series they had called The Art of Video Games. That was at the Smithsonian. And I think they had they selected some, and there were some that were voted on by a poll. But anyway, it was what a privilege. Other than the fact that it makes me feel incredibly old that my work is in a museum, it's kind of cool to be part of that. And it was also then again in the Museum of Modern Art in New York City also has managed to ask us for the rights as part of their display as well, and as part of their design Museum. And I, this is always, this is, this stuff is really interesting to me because I love the fact that in some ways these games won't be lost. I mean, obviously Myst will always, you know, we've
they
already...
They won't, you change the world.
Yeah, and in some way, I mean, there's lots of things that change the world, but when you get somebody caring for things in a museum, that 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 means that maybe it'll last a little longer. The history of it won't get lost quite so easily. And so that's really exciting for us.
Now I have another question from Tom Boy. He asks, if you ever finished Minkata, did you ever finish Minkata the way it was supposed to be completed?
Yes. Minkata was actually, it was quite controversial age when we sat down with it. But the idea with Minkata was, it was kind of one that I wanted. And the idea was I want large amounts of real estate. I wanted a large, large area. I wanted to be able to run for a lot, go a long distance. I wanted it to seem endless. And there are constraints to what a computer can do. And if there's a lot of details and a lot of buildings and a lot of meticulous design work, then the age might seem a little more constrained and a little smaller. And the idea was this one should seem large. And it was fun trying to... come up with the puzzle design for that, but it flowed very naturally into some kind of cartography puzzle where, because it was so nondescript and because there was kind of a center point, the idea was how would this have been used as an exercise for cartographers? How would they have used it to map things? And particularly, how would they have used it with the Dunny's kind of polar coordinates instead of rectangular coordinates. And so it flowed very naturally, and that's how it was meant to be, as kind of a different feel for an age than where we had gone before.
Well, continuing with content, Ventress says they have some questions that they haven't found answers to, though that may be because they don't want to be answered, but... This one says, were the DRC histories about the kings created before, after, or during the physical creation of Agura and the other ages, and how much did they worry about integrating the two?
The DRC histories were just translations from the Dunny. So those were obviously way, way after the actual Dunny writings of those of the kings, or the descriptions of the kings. So, and the king's that chamber, that kind of circular chamber that has all the king's information in it, I believe was done long after Agura. I think it was something that they kind of set up as a to honor the kind of history of the kings that they pulled together and designed, and then of course we translated. So,
okay, Zeke has a question. Do you have plans to complete the Book of Meriam in the future?
Oh, we always have plans to complete it. Whether or not we can is the question, and the word "ever" in there opens up, so I can always say yes. We would, we would love to complete it. And I've said before, it's a really good story, and we want to do it right. And it's just we've got not a lot of personnel and other things that are we kind of need to keep going at this point. So it's still on the burner, but it's one of those back burners. It's like about 20 rows back. It's a very big stove.
Okay. Zeke also writes, after 20 years since the creation of Myst, how do you feel how's become the expectations of your fans?
Yeah, and I kind of touched on this before. The fans' expectations are awesome and awesome, in both senses of what that word means. The fans' expectations drive us to a certain extent. I mean, we like to drive ourselves. It's when your company's growing, which ours had been until recent developments, it's easier to keep that bar being raised higher and higher. And so that's a wonderful experience. So as we went from our earliest children's games, where it was only my brother and I, to a larger group of people doing Myst, and then a huge group of people doing Riven, and a lot of people doing Myst Online, Uru, it was easy to kind of keep that bar raised. With less people now, it's hard, and it's tough to keep the bar as high as what people might expect. We kind of cut our teeth doing small children's games. Then we got larger and larger, more extensive games. I mean, I look back at Uru and I'm amazed by it, about what we were able to pull off and how much content's there and how much entertainment value is there. But what that does also, our fans' expectations kind of drove that, but what it does also is makes it a little bit tough to do smaller games, because I think expectations of the fans are very high and they expect a lot. So if we do a small mobile game that's original, it's not what the fans might expect is our expertise, and we get mixed reviews on it, but that's okay. It's not a bad thing. We want to be a company that's also flexible. We want to do the big things if we can, but we also want to stay alive with the small things so that we have an opportunity to do the big things later, if they come along. So we appreciate the fans' expectations.
So, Rand, I would like to throw you a curve that I promised, okay?
You throw. I'll see if I can hit it.
Okay. We plan in the fall to have here together your brother, Tim Larkin, and Jack Wall. Would you like to join the party and just talk about Uru and just play around?
Yeah, that's not even a curveball. That was, right down the middle into the sweet spot. I would love being part of that. That would be exciting. That'd be a blast, yeah.
Okay, so this is a deal, because I got all of them to agree.
Okay.
And I won't tell them that you're coming.
Oh, I'll surprise them. Okay.
That's okay?
Yeah, that's great.
Cool.
Another question we have here is, can you tell us about some of the future projects that Cyan has coming up on the horizon or over the horizon?
Yeah, and I touched on this a little bit. I think the thing that's going to come out next is Real Myst. We've had a lot of people, and Real Myst has been languishing a little bit. Particularly, I love the Real Myst iPad version, by the way. But on the Windows and Mac side, obviously, it's kind of been a long time between updates. So that one is in the works, and everything takes longer than it should, but we're excited about that. And there's a couple surprises related to that we'll reveal in the future, that I think we're excited about. So stay tuned for that. I mentioned a few other smaller ones, and then we have got a Kickstarter that we're toying with. It's we're much more than toying with at this point. It's we're trying to seriously put together what needs to be put together for that. So keep your eyes open for that. There are and then we've always got other projects that we have been massaging for years that we're excited about, but may come down the line. I think at this point we don't look more than a year ahead. It's hard to look even a year ahead the way things are. So, I mean, I think it's hard for any company to look more than a year ahead. So we look at what we can do in the next 6 months to a year, and I think, you know, that is pretty close to it, the things I mentioned.
Rand, we also have an event coming that is called the Nipalooza. I'm sure that you're aware. And there is many artists and many talented people in the cavern. Have you heard about this?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. It's exciting.
Ventress has a question. He wants to know if you've gotten your guitars off the wall lately to play.
My guitars spend way too much time on the wall, but on occasion they come down and I play a little. But it's, you know, there's too much work to be done to be playing guitar these days.
Here's a content question from Malfhawk. They ask, how did you make the linking sound effect? They've always wondered and have even tried to replicate it, but with no really good results. What's the story on the linking sound effect?
There's a funny story behind this. And, at some point, we'll have to verify that this is correct, but I'll give you my recollection of exactly how things worked. When Robin and I were making Mist, I think we had tried various sounds for the linking sound. And as I recall, Robin was done with the artwork, and I was putting together various pieces of the game with Rawa. And I think Robin tried his hand at the linking sound because neither one of us were satisfied with it. And he just put a microphone up to his mouth, made the bizarre, you know, kind of sound that you hear, and then processed it in some way. And that was it. So as a result of that, it was very hard to replicate and make a better version of it for later games. And that, I think that's why the one in Riven was a little bit different. And then after that, I think we went back to the Mist one because we all just liked that original sound. So at some point, I'm going to have to ask him. Next time I see him, I'll ask him if that's how he remembers it. But as I recall, he was, you know, humming into a microphone literally to make the linking sound.
Wow. Ventress again has another question. He always says that you disliked acting the part of Artress, and yet you never pushed the role off on a professional. That either he thought it would have a strong negative effect on sales, or he didn't dislike it as much as he implies. Which is it now?
Yeah, well, you know, you're trying to strap me down into those two explanations, and there are a couple more, but I did dislike it. It was really easy playing the roles when it was just my brother and I in the basement, you know, kind of by ourselves and having fun. And then for Riven, it was a little more difficult, or actually a lot more difficult. And then for the ones after that, it was, I don't even like to think about it. It's just, there's some people that are really uninhibited and they're able to act and they don't care who's around. And I think any good actor or actress that, you know, that's a key component of it is inhibitions or lack thereof, as far as, you know, not being afraid to play a role. I don't have those. I'm kind of an introvert, and I really, you know, so getting in front of strangers to try and make a fool of myself is what it felt like every time I did any of that, was just abhorrent and not a fun thing. So with that said, the reason I did play those roles is because I, much like probably a lot of fans, always felt it was weird when somebody's, when in any show or game or entertainment that I've seen, they've swapped out a main character. They've just got a new person for that character. You know, it's the Bewitched effect, if for those of you who are old enough to know that, where like all of a sudden one episode of Bewitched, the Darren character was a new guy and nobody explained why or anything. It was just was. So anyway, that discontinuity I didn't like. And as much as I didn't want to act and I didn't think I did a good job, it was worth the pain, just, you know, because it was only a week and I can do anything for a week or a few days or however long it took. So I just bit the bullet and did it. So there you go.
But when they are bewitched and they say they couldn't be any better actress.
Well, that's I think it could have been a better actress, but I at least acting wise. But at the time, I think for continuity, that's probably true. I don't think for continuity.
You get some fans.
What's that?
You have some fans.
Okay, I'll take them.
Okay, Tim Bartolini asks, if Cyan had more involvement with Myst 3 and 4, how would it have been different? How would you have envisioned the story development?
Oh, this is a difficult one. Only because I'm not sure what we would have done different. What that would require of me is to sit down almost to a certain extent at a table and do the design work of what it would be if we'd have done it. And we never had the time to do that or the gumption to do it. And I look at what was created by, you know, with just a few hints from us and some background stuff, people did an amazing job. Other people of coming up with storylines that both were separate but yet flowed well into the entire canon and storyline. So I really am happy with what people did, and I can't come up with an alternative that I would have done better without an awful lot of work on our part.
We have Zeke that is asking if Raoul would come also, Rand.
I think Raoul would come do an interview. Actually, I have to say, I have to thank Raoul because he's kind of my right-hand man with regard to all things Myst-related. And that's,
oh, so we could quiz him.
You could quiz him, and in fact, I have to say, you, in many ways, you quizzed him with these questions because he and I sat down and actually discussed a lot of these questions ahead of time. He's sitting next to me in case I make any mistakes. He'll hit me over the head with a bat. So he's here. Rawa, say hello.
No.
Yeah.
Hello.
We've been at this, you know, for a long time, and he knows. We fill in each other's blanks with a lot of things, with the history that we kind of have just evolved into with all these things. So it's hard to do anything of this sort without Rawa. So, yeah, he should do one of these sometime.
Okay, this is a deal.
I'm pretty sure I have an appointment that day.
I don't think so, Rawa. It's fine and it's written and it's public.
She's got you there, love. Well, that concludes our hour. Thank you so very much, Ran, Christine, and Planetary for all.
It's only un au revoir, n'est-ce pas?
Ah.
Thank you, everybody. This was a lot of work, and this is so much fun for us to come and answer questions because we get to relive, you know, kind of the fun times of what went on throughout history with all the things missed. And it's amazing you guys are still here and enjoy this. And, you know, hopefully there's some exciting things in the future.
Definitely. And we thank you for your time today. I know it takes a lot to take an hour out of a busy schedule to come sit and talk, but we'll always love to have you and everything you have to say to us, and we appreciate it, and thank you.
My pleasure. Hope to see you guys soon.
Thank you, Rand.
Okay, and thanks everybody for being here. And we want to say thank you to everyone. We want to say thanks.
So we're going to say thank you, Alan D, Cassis, Zeke, Mirfak, Rocket Dog, Lou Magic, Glow, Alexandra Lara, Malaclips,
Jay Benjamin, Edison Rex, Ventress Deha, Sigan, Magical Mystery, Lasarina, Magic Lilith.
Moose, Ural, Vector, Jenny the Flutist, Colch, and everybody else. Michelle, you have to read.
Remember, I crashed.
She can't get in. Doofus, thank you for being here, Doofus. Moose also, McBeam, Sophia, Chris
Edison
Katie,
Rex.
Murray. Gosh, I hope I'm reading everyone's name here.
Lasarina. Lawton.
Freya98, Christian Walter, Skydiver Penny.
Vector Cramp.
Radio Flux.
Doofus. Oh my, Yana.
I can't say this name. Gong, C-J-H-E-R-K-E-L-E-S-S, whatever that is.
Jamie Marchand, McBeam.
Tim Bartolini.
Freya.
Oh, and Rand's on the
Skydiver
list.
Skydiver Penny.
Thank you, Rand, Tresido, for being here.
And thank you so much, Rand.
Kaja. Chad Brochiller 17.
We're done, right?
Yeah, I think that's it. So we'll see we'll see you guys later on the Denipalooza this weekend and later on the DMR. And we'll see you guys in the city, in the cavern, wherever it is. So thanks, everyone, for being here.
And don't forget, Beach will be streaming. And don't forget, Beach will be streaming some music for 2 hours, so let's have a party.
All right, good night.
Good night.